Is that okay? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين سيدنا مولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين والصلاة والسلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين وعمن اتبع النبي بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد طيب we'll continue إن شاء الله with the الطحاوية and we stopped yesterday after we finished the chapter of prophecies and the Imam al-Tahawi again comes back to the center of belief in Tawheed. In a sense, you will notice throughout your study through the Tahawiyyah that Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, did not simply talk about Tawheed and then finished it. In a sense, he always goes back and forth and starts, let's say, we did the first chapter of Tawheed, we said, then we went into prophecies, but he goes back again to Tawheed, and that's what we will notice then. طيب. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَوَقَّ النَّفْيَ وَالتَّشْبِيهِ زَلَّ وَلَمْ يُصِبِ التَّنْزِيهِ And the meaning is, who does not avoid negating the attributes of Allah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَوَقَّ النَّفْيَ النَّفِي means negating. Like some people said, since we have sama', we have hearing, then Allah cannot have hearing. Because they said hearing must be, it's an attribute of a human being. An attribute of a human being cannot be attributed to the Creator, therefore he is not hearing. This is a metaphor, no hearing. Tahawi says, he who does not avoid negating Allah's attributes, and tashbih is liking them to the creation. So you have, there's two pitfalls here. And the two pitfalls lead to kufr. And Islam is the deen of moderation right in the middle. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا نَفِي and تَشْبِيه تَعْطِيل and تَجْسِيم نَفِي means negating the attributes. Saying these attributes don't exist. تَشْبِيه is liken the attributes of Allah to those of the creation. You cannot negate them, nor can you liken them to the creation, and this is the deen of Islam. This is what Imam al-Tahawi says, Zalla walam yusib al-tanzih. Then who? He who does not avoid either likening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the creation, or negating his attributes, then will fall and will not achieve tanzih. What is tanzih again? If someone can remind me, we talked about that. What is tanzih? What is tasbih? Tasbih is tanzih. When you say subhanallah al-azim, that is tanzih in the Arabic language. And tanzih means what? Then what does tasbih mean? Number one, basically, tasbih means that you attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the attributes of perfection, superiority, and oneness. There's only قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. I think it's similar to him. So attributing Allah with the attributes of perfection, superiority, and absolute oneness and uniqueness, and also clearing him from non-suitable or non-befitting attributes. And we said, what are the non-befitting attributes? Any attribute of the creation is a non-befitting attribute, a non-suitable attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what tanzih is, and this is what tawheed is, and this is the heart and the core of Islam. And then Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, of course, if you go through pages 1 through 124, I think you'll be able... We don't have much time to go into too much details, unfortunately, because we're behind. But I would encourage you to do that on your own. And then Imam Tahawi says, فَإِنَّ رَبَّنَا جَلَّ وَعَلَى مَوْصُوفٌ بِصِفَاتِ الْوَحْدَانِيَّةِ مَنْعُوتٌ بِنُعُوتِ الْفَرْدَانِيَّةِ لَيْسَ فِي مَعْنَاهُ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ. And the meaning is, Imam Tahawi is saying, indeed, our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is only attributed with the attributes of perfection, of absolute oneness, and of uniqueness, and none of the creation shares any of these attributes. I think this is, we've already covered that so many times, but Imam Tahawi wants to drill it again and again and again because of its importance. Because people always fall out of Islam or depart the circle of Islam by either negating the attributes of Allah or by likening them to the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Nothing is like him. Now Imam Tahawi goes further down and talks about another important thing. He said, وَتَعَالَى عَنِ الْحُدُودِ وَالْغَايَاتِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ وَالْأَعْضَاءِ وَالْأَدَوَاتِ لَا تَحْوِيهِ الْجِهَاتُ السِّتِّ كَسَائِرِ الْمُبْتَدَعَاتِ. This is very important because it's a continuation of it. تَعَالَى عَنِ الْحُدُودِ وَالْغَايَاتِ, it means he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, is clear of being attributed with having limits, ends, parts, organs, or limbs. Ta'ala عن الحدود. Hudud means limits. والغايات, ends. والأركان, it means parts, organs, or limbs. And the six directions cannot contain him. This is very important. Again, Imam Tahawi said, وَتَعَالَى عَنِ الْحُدُودِ وَالْغَايَاتِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ وَالْأَعْضَاءِ وَالْأَدَوَاتِ لَا تَحْوِيهِ الْجِهَاتُ السِّتُّ كَسَائِرِ الْمُبْتَدَعَاتِ. Remember that Imam Tahawi, who died 239, was from the Salaf, by the way. Just so you know, from the Salaf Salih, رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ورضي عنهم أجمعين. تَعَالَى عَنِ الْحُدُودِ وَالْغَايَاتِ, it means he's above being attributed. He's clear from being attributed with limits or ends. Anything that limits him, or anything, or an end. Because anything that has a limit has a size and has a mass. And anything that has an end has also a size and a mass. And Allah, the creator of size and mass. And therefore, since the creator cannot be attributed with the attributes of the creation, He Jalla wa Ala is clear of these both things. Imam Tahawi goes further and says, Wal arkan, wal a'da, wal adawat, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attributed with parts, organs, or limbs. Why? Dear brothers and sisters, the reason we have organs and limbs to enable us to do things. You have the organ of hearing, which is the ear. This is so you can see, because you can hear. You wouldn't hear without it. You have the organ and the limb of the vision of eyes, so you can see. May Allah keep all your eyes and all your ears. Not give you more than, because we want you to have just two eyes and two ears. But you have them, so you can see. If you don't have them, then you can't see. These are tools, these are limbs. Tools of hearing, tools of sight, tools of touching. Hands, so I can touch, so I can work, so I can carry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human being, fi ahsani taqweem. So He perfected you, why? So you can do your daily duties, you can do your things, so you can work, you can do ibadah, you can do all these things. That's, you need these things. Can anyone go without hands? Very hard. May Allah keep all your limbs and all your hands intact. Therefore, you need to use your hands in right ways. These hands will talk in the Day of Judgment. And the legs will talk, and the eyes will talk, and the ears will talk, and everything will talk. They will all come as material witnesses against you, or for you. Everything you say, touch, or talk about can and will be used against you in a court of law. But that's the Supreme Court, where the material witness is your own body parts. Hands, come forward. And your defense attorney cannot do anything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah tells the zalim, لا تتكلم. If you're aggressor, Allah tells you, do not speak. You have no right to speak. They can talk now. They'll say, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Whatever they were doing, their hands and their limbs will talk. So we have hands, and we have limbs, and we have organs, so we can do things. So we can see things, we can hear things, we can function in our lives. Allah Jalla wa'ala is clear of all these things. Because these things are a sign of deficiency and a sign of imperfection. The reason we have hands is because we can do things. We're dependent on them. If you don't have hands, you can't do anything. The reason you have eyes, ears, legs, feet, etc., 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 etc. All these things are basically attributes of the creation. And Allah Jalla wa'ala is the creator. And the creator cannot be attributed with the creation, must be attributed with the attributes of perfection. And then Tahawi rahimahullah said, لا تحويه الجهات الست كسائر المبتدعات. He is not contained in one of the six directions or any of the six directions. And that means what? That means east, west, south, north, up and down. All these things. Why does the Tahawi say this? Because all these things are created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all these things. You all know the hadith of Bukhari by now because we repeated it only about 10 times. And here's the 11th time. And it's beautiful because it's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time you repeat it, you only benefit from it. It is like the misk, it's like the beauty, it's like the perfume. That every time you hear it, you get things from it. Al-Bukhari narrates in his Sahih that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ غَيْرُهُ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed eternally when nothing else existed. And I hope you all memorize this hadith because this is an important hadith. Of course, this hadith only refers and explains the ayah in the Quran. That's very clear and explicit. That said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ.
هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. Which means He is the eternal and the everlasting. So we say Allah is the creator and He existed in eternity. When nothing else existed, no directions, no south, no north, no east, no west, no up, no down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for the creation of the place, willed for the creation of the space, willed for the creation of time. And therefore all these things are creations of Him, and therefore these things do not limit Him. Nor is He subjected to them, nor is He subjugated by them. Actually, everything, including the place, the space, the directions, all the creations are all subjugated by Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Because what is up to you here, you say, if I ask you, where's up? Someone's going to stand up and say, it's right there, that's up, right? That's above. But if I ask at the same time someone in Japan to say, where's up? Because Japan on the other side, to up to him is what's down to you. He's up to here. This part of earth up there. And this part of earth in Australia up is that way. And this part is up that way. Where's up? Where's down? Allah is the creator of up and down. That's when people thought. When we talked yesterday, we talked about these verses or these lines in the current Torah and the current Bible. We talked about them and you see how we compared what they believe versus with what we believe. And you see how, for example, Yahud and Nasara in their current versions, books, they say that, almost Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lives in the sky and these things and all that, because they believe the earth is flat. When these books were written by, apparently it was, these books were not written by the messengers. Because it was written by the messenger itself, they were preserved as such. They wouldn't say that because the messengers know better. Or they would, right? It tells you that someone who wrote them at that time, they thought that the earth was flat. Therefore, Galileo, when he tried to tell the people that the earth is not flat, they almost killed him. And you know who first killed? The church actually wanted to kill him first. Said, you either say the earth is not is flat or we will kill you. So he said, earth is flat, whatever you want. He loses his life. Okay. صلوا على رسول الله وعلى So he subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear of limits. And the same thing goes for those people who think, and I've heard that many times, not many times, but I've heard that a few times already, not here, but in other places in the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is light and He is veiled behind the curtain. This is the essence of the aqidah of kufr. Because what veils can limit Him? He's the creator of veils. That means He has a space and He is limited by place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of place and space. He subhanahu wa ta'ala existed in eternity. When no place and no space, nothing else was existed. Nothing. No galaxies, no moon, no stars. Absolutely nothing. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed. And then He willed for the creation. So nothing can veil Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a light of photons that can be hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body that can be hidden and can be covered by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala veils things. Nothing can veil Him. Allah subjugates things, nothing can subjugate Him. Everything is subject to Allah's will, and Allah is not subject to anything's will. This is the Lord, Jalla wa'ala, the creator of all. Alhamdulillah, you say the first thing in the Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You don't say Rabbul Bashar, the Lord of the Bashar only. Al-Alameen, Jama' Awalim, means plural of worlds. The Lord of all the worlds. And see, since He is the Lord of all the worlds, He is the creator of all the lords, of all the worlds. And therefore, everything in the worlds, in all the worlds, is subjugated to His power. And subjugated to His will. And nothing can subjugate Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we mentioned yesterday again, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Lord, as-Samad. What does the Samad mean? Hi, ya Sheikh Ali. Where is Sheikh Ali? Tafadhal, ya Sheikh Ali. He said it, but did not correctly, almost. Almost. As-Samad means He who is not in need of anything. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu As-Samad. As-Samad means the one, and there's only one, the one who is not in need of anything. Not everyone, yet everything is in need of Him. Not everyone, everything is in need of Him. The one who is not in need of anything, yet everything is in need of Him to be sustained. Nothing can be sustained without Him. So did Allah give Himself the name, the Creator, after He created, He willed for the creation? Huh? Yes or no? Of course no. Allah has always been the Creator, before creating anything. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes do not change, are not subject to change. They're eternal and they're everlasting. And they are not created. And they are not similar to the creation. We said five things, right? About Allah Jalla wa'ala and His attributes. Number one, they are eternal. With no beginning. Because who created the beginning? Allah. Can He be subjected to a beginning? No. Because that means the beginning subjects Him. No. Allah subjugates everything. Eternal and everlasting. Not everlasting without an end. Not created. Cannot be created because He is a creator. How can you say a creator is created? That's a contradiction in terms. Impossible. Number two, number four, He is not subject to change. Because why? Why do we say He's not subject to change? Nothing changes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change and His attributes don't change. Why? Because change is a sign of imperfection and deficiency. I change, you change. You learn more, then your knowledge increases. But Allah is attributed with the absolute knowledge. Eternally, everlastingly, not subject to change. He knows everything. His will is eternal and everlasting. Allah wills for things to happen on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that He willed for it today or yesterday. In His eternal knowledge and in His eternal will, He willed for things to happen today, for example. He willed for me to talk now in His eternal knowledge, Jalla wa'ala. Because His will is not subject to change and addition and time. Time, that's for me and you. That's because the moon and the earth. And then seasons are because what? Because the earth and the sun. That's why you have time. That's why you have day and night. That's why you have seasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subjugated to that. We are subjugated to the creation. Allah, Allah. Sallu ala Rasulullah wa alihi. So since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Qur'an al-Kareem explicitly tells us that Allah jalla wa ala existed in eternity, and I mean by eternity, without any beginning. So we don't say eternity has, no, because you cannot apply limits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limits are to me and you. Since we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed in eternity with no beginning, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, and the Quran says, very explicit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for the creation of things and for the creation of entities. He existed in eternity without anything. Nothing else was there but Allah jalla wa'ala. And I mean was there, I don't mean a place. Because Allah jalla wa'ala is not in need of a place. Because me and you need a place to exist. Allah is the creator of the place, and Allah existed in eternity when no place was created yet. So, Allah then willed for the creation of the place, willed for the creation of the space, this space that you see, that's a creation of Allah. Everything is a creation of Allah. And when people think that the creation can subject the creator, that's when they go to kufr wal-iyadu billah. How can a weak, deficient, imperfect, worthless creation, of course we talk about the creation, any other creations, we don't talk about the prophets, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, because they're not worthless. The prophets are the most honorable of the creation, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most honorable of all the messengers, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi wa sallam. But how can imperfect, deficient creation, we're talking general here, how can they subjugate or subject the creator? That means the creator, they overwhelm the creator. That means the creator is powerless or they have something. And that is an impossibility because that's a contradiction to the term God or the creator, which is attributed with the attributes of Godhood. We have, therefore, Imam Tahawi here, he's trying to talk about the place. Because that's what the other nations fell into. Like you saw yesterday from the Aqa'id that are present in the nowadays version of Torah. Or Torah. The Torah right now, if you open it, and we said that, and they are mentioned in these things, we mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago, I think. The verses in the Torah, the current Torah, of course, where it says explicitly that Allah basically looks like a man who comes on the clouds, who lives in the sky, sits on the chair, and comes down and up and all these things. Basically a man, rests when he gets tired. 2 feet, 2 hands, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 hips, you name it. Human being, long beard too, they gave him that attribute. And you see that in the movies, don't think that they're just talking about that. That's coming to movies and cartoons. So when you put your kids in front of these cartoons, you make sure you see what they're watching because these things go into their heads. They picture these things and they tell them, okay. Al-Tahawi rahimahullah ta'ala is trying to tell us that we have to be careful of these things because these things are actually what negate the Islamic belief. Because Allah jalla wa'ala does not need a place. I need a place, you need a place. If He needs a place, that means He is contained in a place. That means he is limited by the place. That means there's an end to that place. That means he has a size, and that means there's something. That means those people, therefore, Yahud and Nasara, they don't actually believe Allahu Akbar. They believe Al-Arsh Akbar. And those who follow them, follow that suit. Because they believe that that Lord, what they think is, sits on the chair or the Arsh, which means, of course, they believe that the Arsh is bigger. Has to. This is going into worshipping idols again. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the creation. Who sits? Me and you. Who is confined to a place? Me and you. Who is attributed by a mass? Me and you on the creation and these things. Who is attributed by a size? Me and you on the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like the creation. Therefore, he cannot be attributed with the attributes of the creation. And this is the entire meaning of Surah Al-Ikhlas.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Now in the Quran we have two kinds of ayahs. And that is for all those people who were asking all these questions yesterday about all these controversial ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, I think ayah number 6 or 7, I am not sure exactly, but there, I think 7 probably. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ
هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. We have, Allah tells us, we have two ayahs. Ayatun muhkamat. Two kinds of ayahs. Allah tells us, this is not our classification. And this is not a classification of tawheed. This is just a classification of the ayahs in the Quran. Allah instructs us and tells us very explicitly in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه. Among, in this book, there are two kinds of ayah. Ayatun muhkamat. هن أم الكتاب. These ayat muhkamat, Allah says, which means, are أم الكتاب, which means the mother of the book. Meaning of the mother of the book doesn't mean like a mother and a book. Huh? And the mother does not give birth to a book like those people who don't think anything but literal. No. Mother of the book means the foundation of the book. The pillar of the book. The essence of the book. So, the ayat muhkamat are the foundation of the book. Allah then says, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَات. And other kinds of ayat, other kinds of ayat in the Quran, those ayat are mutashabihat. That's their name. We will talk about what they mean. Ayat muhkamat, هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَاب. They are the foundation of the book. And أُخَر, other kinds of ayat, Allah says in the book, mutashabihat. صلوا على رسول الله. Let's talk about the meaning of ayat muhkamat. The meaning of ayah muhkama comes from muhkam. Muhkam means, ayah muhkama means it can only accept one meaning. Not two, not three, not four, not five, not ten, not hundred. Only one meaning according to the Arabic language in which the Quran was revealed. Not the English language. The Quran was not. Some people sent me questions yesterday saying, Allah said this and they wrote it in English. That's not what Allah said. Okay. So, ayat muhkamat. The definition is, are those ayahs those kinds of ayahs which constitute the foundation of the Quran and the standard of the Quran, basically, those are ayahs that cannot accept but one meaning only. Example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Can you give me two meanings for أحد? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Does it have, Allah is one, has no partners. What else does it mean? Two, three, four, five, one. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة الشورى نمبر 11
ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير
ليس كمثله شيء which means nothing is like him. Can it mean anything else? Nothing means whatever you imagine, anything, everything, nothing is like him, because everything you imagine is a creation and Allah is the creator, therefore nothing is like him. محكم محكم. فاعلم أنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات
فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. الله says في القرآن no, therefore that there is no God, that there is no creator but Allah. Any other meanings to it? One meaning. Only. Ayah muhkama. And those kinds of ayahs are the foundation of the book and the standard upon which the other ayahs are measured. The other ayahs' names are ayatun mutashabihat. Mutashabih means what? Means has multiple meanings. Ayahs that may accept more than one meaning. More than one meaning. In other words, the Arabic language itself facilitates more than one meaning for that Arabic word. And that's why it's mutashabiha. Mutashabiha, we don't know the exact meaning really. It has many different meanings. Which one? I'll give you this example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said fil Quran al-Kareem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wakhfid janahaka lil-mu'minin. And this is an ayah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, lower your wings to the believers. Literally, if you want, of course, doesn't mean literal translation. But if I'm translating literally, so you know. Literally, it would mean, which it doesn't mean, lower your wings, wakhfad janah. Janah means wing. To the believers. Does the Prophet ﷺ have wings? It means what? It means be humble to the believers. That's the Arabic language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fil Quran about the camel of Salih. Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam said, Naqat Allahi wa suqyaha. The camel of Allah. Does Allah need a camel? Does Allah have a camel? Of course, everything is a creation of Allah. To Him belongs everything. But does it mean the way we understand it? Absolutely not. It's the naqa of Salih, really, but they killed it. So Allah said, this is my camel, they killed it. It's honoring. More examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Baytullah, antahira bayti. We said this masjid is Baytullah, the house of Allah. Does Allah have a house? Does Allah need to be housed anywhere? Allah is the creator of house and the creator of place and the creator of space and the creator of everything. But it's a form of honoring that. Huh? Remember when 10 years ago or more, when Iraq invaded Kuwait. And what did the news say? Saddam went into Kuwait, right? Now Saddam is gone, alhamdulillah. But anyway, I mean, that's one tyrant down and lots more to go. But anyway, we don't want to go into politics. Allah, Allah. Lot more to go. But anyway, what did the news say? Saddam went into Iraq, into Kuwait. Did actually Saddam went? He was sitting in his palace. He didn't go anywhere. Well, what does that mean? Saddam's people, Saddam's army, Saddam's whatever you want to call it, right? They went into Kuwait. They invaded Kuwait. So, ayat muhkamat, they accept only one meaning. Ayat mutashabihat, also, they accept many different meanings. Allah, now the ayah continues. I'm taking you back to the ayah of the Quran in Surah Ali Imran.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ بِتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَبِتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ
هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. آيات محكمات, they are the foundation and they are the standard of the book. وأخر متشابهات, and other ayahs that have multiple, they can have multiple meanings. Those whose hearts are diseased, those whose heart قلوب, this plural of قلب, which means heart, hearts, disease, sickness, illness. Those, Allah says, which means those whose hearts are diseased. Oh Allah, what do they do, those who have diseased hearts? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهِ They follow what? The ayat mutashabihat. The ones that can have multiple meanings. They can mean a creation, they can mean a creator, they can mean what? They can mean so many different things. To do what? Allah tells us. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ What do they want? Allah tells you what they want. They want to know the exact interpretation of it. ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَة First they want to make fitna. What do you say about this? Huh? Someone comes to you who doesn't know the integrals of wudu, doesn't know the fara'id of wudu, from the sunan of wudu, from the wajibat of wudu, from the invalidators of wudu. Doesn't know the difference between istinja and istibra, and what's the faraad of istinja, what's the faraad of istibra, what's the nawaqid of the invalidators of istinja, nawaqid of istibra, but he wants to talk about istawa. And I said what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu did yesterday. Unbelievable. But this is what it is. The Quran says it specifically. And I don't blame these innocent victims. These innocent victims are our fellow brothers, and we have to all kind of care and be kind and merciful to everybody. But Allah tells us, those who look after, they try to dig into these ayahs that have multiple meanings, because multiple meanings mean what? Mean they may entail meanings that are assigned only to the creation. And they may entail meanings that can only be assigned to the creator. Or they may entail neutral meanings, many meanings. Allah says, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ They want to cause fitna. وَابْتِغَاءَ Not only they're looking for fitna, they're seeking fitna. No, they are seeking to find an exact interpretation to it. ابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ تَأْوِيل means tafsir. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ في القرآن we're talking. Some people say تَأْوِيل means tafsir. نَبِّئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ means give us our tafsir. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم makes dua for Ibn Abbas, say Allah, oh Allah, عَلِمْهُ التَّأْوِيل means tafsir. Okay. They want to have the exact tafsir for this ayah or for this word. And Allah said, look, now I take you back to the Quran, the ayah, same ayah. ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ They want to cause fitna. And ابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ And they're seeking to find an exact interpretation for it. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ And no one knows its exact interpretation but Allah. Hey, Quran, ya Habibi. This is the Quran. Al-Imran. I think ayah 6 or 7. The very first page on a 15-line Qur'an. If you look at it, it should be probably three-quarters of the page. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Only Allah knows its ta'wil. Only Allah knows its exact interpretation. Only Allah knows its exact true meaning. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Now Allah talks about the people who know. says those who are deep in knowledge. وَالْرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. What do they say? Allah tells us, وَالْرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, who have lots of knowledge, يَقُولُونَ, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in it. This ayah has multiple meanings. We believe in its entirety. Whatever Allah said, we believe in it. آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Everything is from Allah. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only those who will be reminded are people who have brains. What do we mean by brains? Allah gave us all brains. What does that mean then? That means those who work their brains. Because all of you have brains, alhamdulillah, and I'm sure all of you have functioning brains. May Allah bless you and increase your intellect. But because some people who are shackled, and I say shackled, I mean shackled by the chains of blind imitation, cannot think. Their brains are not free. Their brains where are in prison. Shackled. How can I think? Ya akhi, say la ilaha illallah. No, I don't want to. Is only God but Allah? No, I don't. No. Some people, when you talk to other people, they say, it's logical, there's only one. It cannot be two lords. There's only one. We talked about that. No, I don't want. It's a matter of faith. When you talk to people, then you explain, there has to be Allah, there has to be a Lord, there has to be a Creator and all these things. And it cannot be two, it cannot be three, it cannot be four. Then they say, look, it's a matter of faith. It means what? It means I'm going to lock my brain up and I'm going to throw the key in the ocean. So don't talk to me anymore. Because that's it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It means those who will be reminded are people who have their brains free and functioning. Free your mind. Don't they say that? Free your mind and then the rest will follow. So you free your mind. Why do you shackle it always? Islam came to free you, not to shackle you. Islam came to boost your intellectual power and boost your spirituality and free you from all these shackles. And some people, they still want to shackle themselves. So, two ayahs. Ayat muhkamat have only one meanings. Like, for example, لم يكن له كفوا أحد. There is nothing similar to him. Can you say any other meaning it entails? Nothing similar to him. For example, ليس كمثله شيء. Nothing is like him in Surah Shura. For example, هل تعلم له سميا. Do you know anything similar to him? For example, قل هو الله أحد. For example, الله لا إله إلا هو. All these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are one. The second ayahs are the ayat mutashabihat, who have many different meanings. They have multiple different meanings. Which meaning do you want to assign? So this is what we have. And here's the problem. Many people now, they come and say, we want to assign this meaning. For example, one word has five different meanings, let's say. And they want to assign this meaning, not the other meanings. Why? What's the rule here? What's the standard? My understanding? Your understanding? Or did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this? One of the questions yesterday was, istawa.
Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. Fi Surah Taha. And they want to know what the meaning is. And I think someone said istawa, and they took it from the Quran, rose. Okay. Let's see. What does istawa mean in the Arabic language? Is it, number one, let's first determine, is istawa muhkam or mutashabih? Ayat muhkamat or ayat mutashabihat? Istawa has many different meanings in the Arabic language. Open up any Arabic language dictionary and you'll see istawa has 16 different meanings. Right now, go please acquire an Arabic dictionary, Mu'jam al-Sihah, Mukhtar al-Sihah, or Mu'jam al-Bildan, whatever you want. And under istawa, 16 different meanings. So by definition, it cannot be an ayat muhkamat. It has many meanings. So it's ayat mutashabihat. So why do we want to assign a specific meaning and declare the rest of the ummah kuffar because of our meaning? And Allah said about the ayat mutashabihat. This is an ayat that is mutashabiha. And Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And no one knows the exact interpretation but Allah. Why do you want to assign a meaning to it and say this is what it is? Submit to Allah. This is what Islam is, submission. Al-Quran itself, Al-Quran al-Kareem itself, mentioned istawa 7 times with 7 different meanings. I'll give you a few examples. So you don't say you're just talking out of the language, because we shouldn't accept the language. The language is the Quran. The Arabic language is the language in which the Quran came. You have to accept it. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyan. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thumma istawa ila as-sama' wa hiya dukhan. Not istawa ala al-arsh, istawa ila as-sama'. And the meaning here, that he willed for the creation of heaven after it was smoke. Wa hiya dukhan. Thumma istawa ila as-sama'. Tayyib. Nain. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولما بلغ أشده واستوى آتيناه حكما وعلما
ولما بلغ أشده واستوى and here it's talking about that young man when he became an adult استوى for a young man became an adult بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وقيل يا أرض ابلعي ماءك ويا سماء أقلعي وغيض الماء وقضي الأمر واستوت على الجودي وقيل بعدا للقوم الظالمين
فاستوت على الجودي about the سفينة of نوح, the ship of نوح started sailing on the ocean. How many meanings do we have now? 3, 4. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قل من يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب
قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون is it equal? Now comes as equal. Are they equal, those who know and those who don't know? Which meaning do you want to assign? Either we assign meanings that we have in the book and we have a hadith that says this is the meaning of istawa, so we assign it to say this is what Allah and His Prophet said, so we assign it right there and then. Or if there's no hadith and there's no ayah, maybe the best thing is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows the best meaning. He knows what He willed. We believe in it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and as He willed, on the way He said, and on the way He willed for it to be. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows. Why do you want to stick your nose everywhere in something you don't know? What if this leads to kufr? What if it leads to negating the attribute or the meaning? What if it leads to likening the meaning to the creation? But because they are taken, like I said yesterday when we mentioned these lines of the Bible and the current Torah, they're taking these meaning from the Torah. Because in the Torah it says that He's sitting on the throne. So they say He's sitting in the throne. Because all these Israeliyat, remember yesterday we started with Israeliyat, and that's what the Israeliyat say, because they came from the Torah, the current version of the Torah, of course. And that's why they say He said that. So they say, he has to, because that's what the Torah says. Do we take our religion from the Torah? Or we take it from the Quran and from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic hadith, that is. That's among the few meanings. There's many more meanings. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار
فاستوى على سوقه الله سبحانه وتعالى says about the plants, about the grains. فاستوى على سوقه, it means what? It grew now, the plants are ripe, these grains are ripe, they're ready to go, they're ready to be taken. I don't know why there's such a great motive and motivation for people, with all, I'm sure, with all sincerity and all love towards Islam, to go after these ayat that are متشابهات, that may have more than one meaning, and they want to exactly assign one meaning to it, and then they want to force the entire ummah to believe in that meaning, and if they don't, they want to declare him kuffar. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we do not have one hadith that said he assigned that meaning to it. Why? To create more division? That's exactly what Allah said. Those who are looking after these ayat that are mutashabihat. Mutashabihat, so they can do tashbih. They can make Allah look like the creation. That's what they do. Mutashabihat from tashbih. Tashbih is likening. Likening to the creation. يَبْتَغُونَ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. Allah says, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. They want to cause fitna. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. And they want to find, they want to get an exact interpretation. But Allah answers them. He says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Ya akhi, nobody knows its exact ta'wil illa Allah. But Allah. Allah knows only what He means by them. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. If you want to be like those who are in depth in this knowledge, after you accumulate all that knowledge, say آمَنَّا بِهِ. We believe. Oh Allah, you said الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى. We believe that it means on the way that you want, the method that you want, the way that you want, the meaning that you willed. This is, we submit to you. We believe in the ayah and we submit to you. We have two schools that have been fighting for about 600-700 years. And that's due to imitation. And that's specifically blind imitation. One more than the other, though, so we can be just. One that say, wait a minute, there's no metaphor in the Quran and Sunnah. Metaphor doesn't exist. In other words, everything is whatever appears to me, the meaning that is like the creation, that's what I will take. Therefore, astawa, among the meanings of astawa, jalas, sit. That means that sit. What that, so that you believe what the Jews, what the Yahud believe. Okay. Now. But among the meanings of istawa, subjugate and governed, why don't you take that then? If you want to assign a meaning, why don't you take that? Even though assigning a meaning is really, was not in the Quran or the Sunnah. Nor did the Sahaba do it. We don't have a narration. Nor did we have a hadith sahih that is that the meaning can be assigned or is assigned. So one, they say, it necessarily means sits on the throne. Must. That's all we know. Doesn't mean anything else. Hands, literal, physical hands. I have books that shows you. It says he has two literal, physical, literal hands like this. I don't know where they got the word literal from. Okay. Two eyes, two hands, two ears, two feet, two legs, two. Draw the lines, you'll have a human being. Of course, adding to that the place above the seventh heaven and the chair and all these things, that's what you... Exactly, we go back to what we said about the Torah yesterday, 2 days ago. The other camp, which is of course closer to the truth, say, wait a minute, this word istawa has 16 different meanings, then which one should we assign? We should assign only a meaning that can, that may be, that Allah may be attributed with. In other words, a meaning that does not contradict with Allah's attributes. In other words, a meaning that is not similar to the creation. And therefore growing, sitting, sailing, being gripe, all these meanings of istawa do not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only meaning that the Arabic language facilitates that may be applicable is subjugating. So they said, let's assign that meaning. And battling, of course. Of course, this is much more closer to the truth. However, Allah told us that no one knows the exact meaning but Allah. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, for the sake of our deen, and for the sake of not trying to have this prejudice and this narrow-mindedness for our party or whoever we belong to or our jama'ah or our philosophy or our idea, so we can believe in the book of Allah and the sunnah, the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it came, maybe we should follow the ayah as it says. Maybe we should do this tafwid. Tafwid means submission. Maybe we should say, oh Allah, we believe in the ayah and we submit the exact meaning to you. You, oh Allah, know what the exact meaning is, but we believe in the ayah on the way you willed. With the meaning, and we know that, oh Allah, you cannot be attributed with attributes of the creation. Can we stay safe out of these red zones, especially for our youngsters, which are, you know, we haven't even gotten, they haven't even studied anything in fiqh and asking about hands and istawa and all these things. And Sayyidina Umar, when someone asked him about istawa, he whipped him. And Sayyidina Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he asked about istawa, he told him to take this man and kick him out. What have you learned so you can talk about istawa? And Allah Himself in the Quran says, no one knows the exact meaning but Allah. You want to know the exact meaning? No one knows. But Allah. No one knows in its true meaning. So submit the meaning to Allah and then believe in the ayah without negating the ayah. Do not negate the ayah, but believe in the ayah and submit the true meaning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue inshallah after the break. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa alihi.